Trend number one, fundamental challenges to America's long-term competitiveness. National competitiveness is defined as the extent to which a nation's companies can succeed in the global marketplace while its people enjoy a high and rising standard of living. By that definition, the United States has exhibited strong national competitiveness virtually since its inception. There are many factors that have created and continue to help maintain these economic conditions. Contrary to what many believe, lower wages and cheaper currency are not the primary factors that enable a country to be competitive. And that's a good thing, since the U.S. has neither. A nation's competitiveness is tied most closely to its long-run productivity, which explains America's historic run as a top competitor. That's because the U.S. possesses the key ingredient that feeds productivity growth, innovation. And driving this innovation is a unique combination of strengths in entrepreneurship, higher education, and management quality. These strengths flourish because they are exercised in an open, democratic society that rewards people based on merit. As a result, the U.S. has, for generations, been a magnet for the world's top talent, which has helped push its upward economic spiral. Intense domestic rivalry has also contributed to the boosting of productivity, while at the same time causing the more productive companies to edge out the less productive ones, resulting in a more dynamic and resilient economy. Innovation and productivity growth in the U.S. are also the product of the best management practices in the world, capital markets that have remained the most vibrant even during the financial crisis, well-endowed universities that work closely with business, and strong property rights that have enabled people to pursue new ideas. Many of these factors, however, are now eroding, and we're increasingly having to rely on the stronger components to make up for growing weaknesses in other areas. For example, while the U.S. remains strong in higher education, entrepreneurship, innovation infrastructure, and intellectual property rights, it is struggling in its ability to attract and retain R&D and advanced manufacturing, which are also key components in the battle for competitiveness. In a recent Harvard Business School survey, alumni were asked about location decisions in the previous year that involved the United States. 57% indicated that the decision they faced pertained to moving an existing activity out of the U.S. 34% reported that their decision was a choice between locating a new activity outside the U.S. or inside. And 9% faced a decision about whether to move an activity that was currently located outside the country into the U.S. After all was said and done, these executives chose the U.S. as the location only 32% of the time. The reasons given for choosing locations outside the U.S. were telling. Not surprisingly, 70% cited lower wages. But what portends trouble for the U.S. were some of the other reasons given for moving activities outside the country. 31% based their decision on better access to skilled labor. 30% were motivated by higher productivity of labor. 25% responded to lower tax rates. And 22% based their decision on fewer or less expensive regulations. These responses represent the underlying structural changes that have put the United States on a trajectory toward weakened competitiveness. This, in turn, is negatively impacting America's ability to maintain, much less raise, our standard of living. And we can clearly see these trends manifested in a number of economic performance measures. Consider these five examples. First, labor productivity growth began slipping even before the financial crisis. Relative to other advanced economies, U.S. labor productivity growth had been strong into the early 2000s, but then began to drop. Over the past 4 years, it's only been sustained by rising unemployment and falling workforce participation, both ominous signs for long-term competitiveness. Second, the U.S. has been losing global market share. In the decade from 1999 to 2009, America's relative share of global exports dropped across the board, including many significant sectors, such as aerospace and defense, information technology, and communications equipment. Third, job creation in private sector employment has dropped to historically low levels. Growth has virtually stopped in industries that face direct foreign competition. Fourth, wages have been stagnant for more than a decade. In 2007, even before the economic downturn, U.S. median household income, in real terms, was below 1999 levels. Since then, it has dropped further. The two decades leading up to 2007 saw anemic growth at a 0.5% annual rate. Middle and lower income workers face the toughest foreign competition and have been the most affected. And fifth, managers on the front lines of international competition are not optimistic about the future. In the Harvard survey of alumni, 71% of respondents predicted a coming decline in U.S. competitiveness when asked to assess the country's future performance in the global marketplace. A sign of this decline that we touched on earlier is that 2/3 of the time the U.S. now loses to other countries when competing to host business activities. These economic performance measures reveal significant cracks in our economic foundation that need to be addressed. At the macro competitiveness level, two of the biggest cracks are high levels of government debt and a primary education system that is delivering results that are not world-class and are out of line with a large amount of money spent on it. At the level of micro-competitiveness, the cracks include eroding skills in the workplace, inadequate physical infrastructure, and rising regulatory constraints. Together, these failings are offsetting our strengths in innovation and entrepreneurship, which themselves are seen as declining. Respondents to the Harvard Business School survey confirmed these stresses by voicing concerns about eroding business conditions in the U.S. Specifically noted were the complex tax code, an ineffective political system, a weak public education system, poor macroeconomic policies, convoluted regulations, deteriorating infrastructure, and lack of skilled labor. Uncertainty about future regulations and taxes was also mentioned as a big concern for the U.S. business environment. In a separate survey of senior executives at a dozen multinational companies who chose locations for their business activities, the concerns echoed those of the Harvard alumni. The issues the executives have with the U.S. include skills shortages and government policies that make doing business in America expensive, slow, and uncertain. The widespread view that governmental policies are hindering rather than helping America's competitiveness by making it less attractive to businesses is both true and disturbing. Most notably, we see that returns on investment and hard work are being reduced, and the allocation and use of human capital and physical capital is being distorted by taxes. Beyond the failings of government and business to foster global competitiveness, there are several other factors outside the country's control. For example, the growing prosperity in other countries has turned them into desirable markets, which attracts foreign investment. This emergence has the potential to positively affect the U.S. economy as new growing markets offer customers for U.S.-made goods, partners in free and fair trade, and sources of innovation. But at the same time, companies that increase their global presence weaken their connections to their countries of origin. This is true for the United States and elsewhere. As low value-added manufacturing is relocated overseas, those emerging foreign markets do little in the short run for the laid-off manufacturing worker in the Midwest. Another factor that is difficult to mitigate is a short-sightedness on the part of American companies that overlook or underestimate the hidden costs of locating activities outside the U.S. Factors in the decision, such as low wages or taxes, are perceived as immediate benefits. But negative factors are not always readily apparent, and can take years before their full effect is realized. A recent report from AMR Research revealed that despite anticipated cost savings, 56% of companies that chose offshore production locations actually experienced an increase in total costs. On the other hand, many companies simply assume that circumstances for a U.S. location are fixed. However, improving the productivity of a U.S. site is quite often a viable option, making it a better choice than moving offshore. Despite America's eroding short-term competitiveness, Harvard's Michael Porter and others argue that this slide is by no means inevitable, and there are many steps that can be taken to stop and even reverse this trend. At the root of it, productivity needs to be increased, and that should be a central goal of all our economic policies. Innovation in products, processes, and management must be paramount. Specifically, there are three areas where government policymakers can act to reinforce our key strengths. First, immigration restrictions that are keeping innovative, highly skilled workers out of the country need to be revised. Second, any regulation that stifles innovation without providing an offsetting benefit needs to be removed. And third, the U.S. system of intellectual property protection needs to be revised to do a better job of preventing foreign IP infringers from selling in the U.S. Business leaders also have to do their part on many fronts. For example, location decision-making processes should be improved to make certain that all the implications of choosing a specific location for an activity are objectively evaluated from a long-term perspective. Often, a location within the U.S. will suit a company's needs as well, if not better, than offshoring. Businesses need to be careful to avoid subsidy traps, such as attractive tax breaks that yield a positive NPV over a short time horizon, but preclude valuable long-term options. Such subsidies are often a sign that a location has little else to offer. Finally, companies need to consider upgrading their current U.S. locations rather than proliferating sites. U.S. locations can often offer access to resources that simply can't be matched overseas. For example, companies located in the U.S. can take advantage of world-class university systems, strong intellectual property protection, sophisticated managerial talent, easy access to capital, and a huge domestic market. Given this trend, we offer the following forecasts for your consideration. First, the potential exists for the U.S. to be a top competitor again. In spite of decisions by America's leaders in government and business that have had a negative impact on the country's strengths, the decline in competitiveness is not a foregone conclusion. The U.S. still features the most productive large economy in the world and offers the largest market for sophisticated goods and services. This environment not only stimulates innovation, it acts as a magnet for investment. Second, the U.S. will only recapture its former competitiveness when politicians quit sacrificing that competitiveness in order to curry favor with short-sighted special interest groups. It's all too easy for politicians to offer solutions that sound simple and may paper over the problems. Admittedly, even if the deeper challenges that have been outlined are not really addressed, the economy will still achieve an anemic recovery. However, America's global competitiveness will continue to decline, as will its relative standard of living. Third, American competitiveness will revive only if we choose enhanced competitive positioning over short-term job creation. Improving competitiveness does not simply equate with job creation. Employment can be increased in the short run artificially by focusing on labor-intensive local industries, such as construction, which are not exposed to international competition. However, this does not improve productivity in strategically important areas and will not, therefore, produce sustainable employment that raises our standard of living. Instead, if the focus is on creating productivity-enhancing conditions for companies, high-wage employment will grow, foreign investment will be attracted, and sustainable growth in demand for local goods and services will be created. Fourth, in the coming decade, American companies will exploit trends in global economic forces that favor U.S. competitiveness. Along with correcting the problem cited earlier that the U.S. faces as a location of choice for businesses, we need to recognize other global factors that will begin to tip location decisions back toward the U.S. Some of these include wages that continue their rapid rise in emerging economies, transportation and logistical costs that are increasing, and product life cycles that are shortening. All of these make U.S. locations more attractive. In addition, with more experience in offshoring, the true and hidden costs are becoming apparent, and many companies are finally able to make more informed decisions. To a larger degree than before, we will see companies choosing U.S. locations. And fifth, the most competitive advanced economies will attract the sophisticated, skill-intensive mobile business activities that companies value most. If the U.S. determines that this is a key battleground, the chances of improving competitiveness will increase. R&D, sophisticated manufacturing, and skill-intensive traded services will be the most sought-after activities, since they generate the most value per worker. In addition to supporting higher wages, they also attract follow-on investments and benefit the local economy with technology and skill spillovers. By contrast, far lower wages are produced by low-end activities, such as simple assembly or routine remote customer service. These are also susceptible to relocation because of rising local costs. The proof of the return of U.S. competitiveness will come when companies choose U.S. locations for their high-end mobile activities.